Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio, everyone. I'm your host, Lisa Watson. I hope that everyone out there is having a wonderful week so far, and that you're ready, or at least getting ready, for the holidays that will be upon us momentarily. Tonight's show is a special one because the Christmas and the New Year holidays marks this one marks my last show in 2014, so it is just amazing how time definitely flies, and looking forward to starting a new year and new guests and everything. So tonight, my guest, I met her at RT Book Lovers Convention, and isn't it amazing how many people you can meet in the course of going to these type of events? We both were new authors at Harlequin Kamani at the time, with books coming out just months apart, so of course we bonded over our excitement at that. My guest is a Chicago native with a dynamic imagination and a passion for reading and writing. Although she loves to read all genres, romance holds a special place in her heart. Her love for romance developed in high school after stumbling across the hot and steamy Harlequin novel, and come on, people, who hasn't that happened to? And she was captivated since by the idea that fate plays a hand in bringing together a great man and an amazing woman who may not be perfect, but are perfect for each other. She instantly became an avid romance reader, and despite her desire to create great romance novels, she put her dream on hold to write for newspapers and magazines while in high school and college. In fact, she decided to test her skills at storytelling by composing a 50-page romance. The short but sweet story only teased her creative mind, but it gave her the motivation she needed to follow her dream of becoming a published author. My guest's first novel was A Tempting Proposal. She loves connecting with readers and other literary enthusiasts, and nothing satisfies her more than writing stories filled with compelling love affairs, multifaceted characters, and intriguing relationships. A true romantic, she believes in predestined romances, love at first sight, and fairy tale endings. It is my pleasure to welcome Sherelle Green to the show. Welcome, Sherelle.
Thanks so much for having me, Lisa. I'm happy to be here.
I am so happy to have you on the show tonight, and I just want to get the ball rolling here, and let's jump right in and have you tell listeners a little bit more about you.
Okay, well, let me see. A little bit about me that's not book related, I guess. I love experiencing new cultures, and I usually rarely pass up an opportunity to travel in or out of the country. And, of course, my absolute favorite hobby is reading, but I also love socializing, whether with new friends, old friends, people I never met, just love it. And although some of my friends and family don't understand my outrageous obsession for all things literary, which I'm sure a lot of people on this call understand, I think they do appreciate, like, the random facts and trivia questions that I do bring to these long road trips. So that I think they appreciate. And a little bit about my writing. I actually write contemporary romance, but within that genre, my stories may range from a family-based drama or romantic suspense to sweet and feel-good romance. And it really just depends on what mood I'm in when I'm writing the book.
Right. So, Sherelle, your newest novel, Red Velvet Kisses, from the Elite Event series, has come out, and it introduces readers to the devastatingly handsome Micah Madden and event planner Lexis Turner. Can you let listeners know a little more about that story and how these two meet?
Yes, yeah, so it's the third book in my Lead Event series, and although I really enjoy writing A Tempting Proposal and If Only for Tonight, I have to say that Red Velvet Kisses was definitely one of my favorite books to write in the series. It takes place around the holidays, and Lexis Turner in the book, she's sweet, she's shy, she always follows the rules, and at times she can be socially awkward, but this is especially true when it comes to sexy men like Michael Madden. So after her first marriage ended in a bitter divorce, Lex is finally living life on her own terms. But as you can imagine, her self-confidence took a hard blow. So she's convinced that her ideal man would be someone who's simple or reserved or basically the complete opposite of Michael Madden, who is like the bad boy security expert with like the street edge who refuses to be ignored by her. So Michael actually concocts a plan to have Lex plan his parents' anniversary party, and unfortunately it's an offer that Lex can't refuse. So she may think that she can't handle Micah, but he's determined to prove that she can definitely handle everything a man like him has to offer.
All right. Well, before we get wrapped up hearing more about Sherelle, I would like to take this opportunity to let listeners know that our live chat session is open. So feel free to come into our chat session there. You can also comment or ask questions. You can call at area code 646-200-4071 or toll free at 877-497-5906. And after the live show, I will post a recap blog on readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that want to check out more from Sherelle's website as we're chatting to her, you can go to her website at www.sherellegreen.com. And that's SHERELLEGREEN.com. So, Sherelle, your debut novel, A Tempting Proposal, garnered an impressionable 4.5 stars from RT Book Reviews magazine and was the magazine's 2013 Kamani Romance nominee at their awards. So tell us a little bit about how you heard about that news, and how did it feel for you being a newly published author to garner so much attention on that debut novel?
Well, I guess excited and humble were probably the first two feelings I had. When I actually first heard about the news that RT Book Reviews had given me a 4.5-star review for Attempted Proposal, I really hadn't even known until several Kamani Romance authors contacted me on Facebook. And, of course, then I was even more excited because I was like, oh, let me go on their website and check it out. And then a few months after that, I noticed that on RT Book Review's Facebook page, they mentioned that they had just announced the nominees for 2013. And so I was like, oh, let me go on their website and check them out. And I think my mouth literally dropped open in surprise when I realized that I was one of the nominees. And I was even more surprised when I actually received the official email about it, especially because I never expected my first novel to be nominated for an RT.
Right. Wow. Now, for those of you just tuning in, we are chatting with award-winning author Sherelle Green. She's with us tonight. We're discussing her latest novel, Red Velvet Kisses, from the Elite Event series. So, Sherelle, it must take a special man to woo and win Lexis Turner, as you said, based on her prior experiences and her marriage. Did this couple gel from the start, or were there a few bumps on the road to attraction?
There were definitely a few bumps in the road, and Lex did not make it easy for Micah at all. I do think that the biggest obstacle that stood in their way was the fact that Lex plays by the rules and she keeps it safe, and she really isn't the type to get too crazy or to execute a plan without fully thinking about the outcome, whereas Micah is definitely more of a fly-off-the-seat-of-your-pants type of guy. So he's spontaneous, he takes chances, and, of course, a reserved woman like Lex finds that hard to understand. So, I mean, even she grew up in, like, a middle-class family before she moved to the city, while he grew up in a household that wasn't sure where their next meal would come from. So they're complete opposites, but they eventually realize what we hope that they realize is that they are better off together than apart. So being around Lex makes Micah come to terms like with skeletons of his past, and being around Micah actually forces Lex to live life a little more freely without worrying so much about what other people may think.
Now, tell us a little bit about your creative process. Do you create outlines for each book, or do you sit and just let the muse take over, or is it actually a combination of both?
Definitely a combination of both. I think when I originally have an idea, it can happen at any time. It can happen in any place. So I guess you can say in those situations, my muse takes over. And I usually will jot down an idea in the notes section of my phone until I'm able to whip up a few paragraphs on my computer and store the idea for a later date, because 9 out of 10 times the idea that I have is probably for a future book, not the current one I'm working on. So, but I must admit that I usually like to start with a concise idea of what my story or series will be about before I actually start writing, and have a clear idea of the overall message I want to send to readers. So I really love writing connecting stories, so I tend to write an outline that details maybe the first or second book in the series, and then I kind of let the rest fall into place. But, you know, even with my muse, I guess you could call me an organized thinker.
That's the journalism coming out in you, right?
Yes, exactly. I'm like, I can't help but be an organized thinker. And I think, and I know we've talked about this before, Lisa, I think my biggest problem is that I have more ideas than I have the time to write them. So that's like a reoccurring issue that I have with stories.
Right. And I know exactly how you feel. I've had, every time I start a novel, I'll have my outline, of course, and then I'll have like little what I call add-ins, which are things that just pop into my head that are kind of cool, but I just haven't found a place for them yet. So I may have dialogue, I may have one-liners and stuff like that. And sometimes as I'm sitting there struggling, I'm like, okay, I need a sentence here. Let me go check my add-ins and see what I can put in here. Now, are there certain characters in your books that you'd like to revisit again or maybe sad to say goodbye to?
Yes, for the most part, I always have characters that I want to revisit, whether that be a secondary character, you know, who deserves a story of their own, or a main character who I feel needs their story expanded. And I actually just turned in my edits for Beautiful Surrender, which is the fourth book in the Elite Event series. And I was really sad to see my Elite Event founders go. But being who I am, I'm already in the process of developing ways where I think readers can catch up with the Elite Event series in the future. So
right. Now, were there any major challenges that almost prevented you from going through with writing your first novel?
Yes. For me, a huge inspiration for me to write my first book and the Elite Event series as a whole was actually my grandmother, who was always so encouraging, as well as my parents. But my grandmother was definitely one of the main reasons why I love reading, because she was constantly buying me books and constantly taking me to bookstores and would always tell me that, you know, she was waiting for me to write that next bestseller. So when she passed away, I was heartbroken and even more disappointed that I never completed the book that I was anxious for her to read. So I actually dedicated a tempting proposal to her memory, and even crafted the character of the grandmother Gamine in the novel with her as my inspiration. So to answer your question, yes, her passing was definitely a major challenge for me. And since I was still grieving, there are certain scenes that I touched upon, I talked about the main character's relationship with her deceased grandmother, that really hit home for me. And I realized that when all wasn't right in my world, it was more difficult for me to write about Amani and Dana's story. But as I progressed in my writing, I actually realized that maybe channeling whatever feelings I had at the time and putting them towards my writing actually made the emotions in the story more prominent and more realistic. So it probably worked out better for me.
Right. Now, I ask the next question every single episode, and I explain every single episode. The reason why I do it is because no one really ever answers the same way twice. So for you, name one thing that you've got to have when you're writing and why.
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question, but I think, I don't know if anyone else has answered this, but I definitely think the one thing I need to have when I'm writing is coffee. My addiction to coffee is so bad that when I was at the nearby Starbucks that's right around my house, you know, I went in there on a deadline and I said, okay, team, you know, today I'm going to try tea and then we're going to try juice. I'm not going to try coffee. I'm going to get through this deadline. And halfway through, I must have looked so stressed out that the manager actually walked over with a large triple shot mocha latte and was like, you know, you look too stressed out. I just wanted to bring you this so you can finish your deadline. So, yes, my addiction to coffee. I can't write without coffee. It never fails. That the words don't flow as much for me.
Now, everybody may not know this, but I'm just going to tell your business anyway. Sherelle Green is actually Sherelle Green Pointer now. and she recently got married. So how are the newlyweds doing? And if I'm not mistaken, weren't you getting married and honeymooning on a deadline? And was it just after you turned in your manuscript? I know that must have been like crazy stressful.
Oh, my gosh. Lisa, okay, first off, you're so right. I was on deadline, and it was probably the most stressed out I've been since I started my writing journey. So Red Velvet Kiss was actually due right after our honeymoon. And during the month that we got married, I had two books that released through Kamani, and that was If Only for Tonight, and then the free online read that, of course, was releasing mm-hmm. every Monday. So I'm trying to promote these books. I'm trying to get married. And, of course, you know, at that time, I was also a bridal show rep for a magazine here in Chicago. So I was doing bridal shows. I'm planning my own wedding. I'm working full time, and I'm on a deadline. So every time everyone asks me, you know, how did you feel during that time? I say robotic, because there are a lot of things I didn't remember. It kind of just became a routine to get, you know, 2 or 3 hours of sleep, and that was it. But I must say, since we're almost coming up on our year of being married, everything's been fantastic. It's been amazing. I love being married to him. We've been together actually for 10 years, so he's very familiar with my writing. The only thing that I put on my 2015 list that he has to do as a husband is read one of my books fully from start to finish. Like, that he has not done without me reading it to him. So.
Well, yeah, I've been married 17 years, or is it 18? I think it's 18. And, yeah, my husband has yet to actually read one of my novels.
Uh-huh.
I'll just look at him like, okay, you know, that just doesn't make sense.
Right, exactly.
He's like, okay, when you write about some military maneuver, or when you write about some type of sci-fi thing, yeah, then I'll read it. I'm like, fair enough, fair enough.
Oh, yeah, I get that from him all the time. I say, you know, real men read romance. He's like, yeah, okay.
He's probably like, yeah, real men make romance.
Right. That's so true. That's so true. Yeah.
Now, if you had it to do all over again, is there something you'd change in your last book, and why?
With my last book, I honestly don't think there's anything I would necessarily change about Red Velvet Kisses, because unlike my first book, I'm learning to kind of let everything fall into place without constantly, you know, rearranging scenes or changing a scene entirely, which is something that I'm known for doing. But I'm actually really happy with the way this book turned out. But I will say that I could have made the book even longer had I not hit my word count, because there are definitely some scenes I wanted to expand on. So if I was going to change something, it would be to make it longer and explain a few details that I wish I would have got to explain more.
Cool. Now, authors, I know, don't always get to pick, you know, our book covers, and I kind of found that out, you know, being a newly published author as well, because sometimes it's just, okay, here's your book cover, and you're like, great.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you like it, and sometimes not so much. Did you get any creative input into the titles as well as the book covers for your book, and were you happy with the process?
Lisa, you know, I think, I mean, we're probably going through this at the same time. But, yeah, so far with my 3 published books and then the 3 full books, the online read and 2 books yet to come with them, the titles that they have chosen have all been in my top 5 that I suggested. So for the cover for If Only for Tonight, Red Velvet Kisses, and Beautiful Surrender that releases in May, I think they're all really close to how I describe the characters. And I learned, like, what type of tips and clues to give the marketing department to, like, hope that I get a, you know, a great cover. But I think mm-hmm. with Attempted Proposal, my first book with the Kamani line, that cover was a little off for me. And I feel like it was probably the one book I had the least amount of input in. So I don't mm-hmm. know if it had something to do with me being newer or just, like you said, learning the process from start to finish. But I think overall I would love to have more input in the covers, because I'm sure, you know, it would get rid of some of that nervousness I get right before I see that email JPEG. I'm like, what is this? What does it look like?
Exactly. So, you know, and sometimes it is that way. And it's just like, hey, look at this. Aren't you excited? Sometimes you're like, oh, yes, you guys nailed it. And other times it's like,
right.
Something, and they're like,
exactly.
No, it's kind of too late to tweak.
Exactly.
Okay. Y'all let me know a couple weeks in advance so maybe I can
right.
offer
I wish
input,
you could
but I know it is
before
so
that moment happens.
Hard sometimes, exactly, because you have to do those art fact sheets, and it's very detailed, the amount of information that you have to provide to give them an idea of where you, you know, like to see your book cover. And then sometimes
it,
when you, it doesn't necessarily turn out that way. It's like, did y'all read that at all?
I know. I learned. I mean, I started including links. I'm like, I'm giving names of
pictures,
lookalike celebrities,
actors.
I'm like, oh, gosh. Yes, exactly. I agree.
Now, I know writing is such a personal journey for authors, and some of them read reviews and others don't even think about looking at them. Do you find it helpful to read some of your reviews? And if so, what's one of the hardest criticisms about your writing that you received, and how did you overcome that? And then what was one of your best?
Okay. You know, I can't help it. I enjoy reading the reviews, whether they're good or bad. For me, it really helps me see what readers are thinking about my books and my series as a whole. And a lot of times I actually find the reviews really helpful and even entertaining, depending on who the reviewer is. but I must say that probably one of the hardest reviews I've ever had to read was about a Tempting Proposal, in which the reviewer basically bashed the character of the grandmother throughout the entire book, saying that grandmothers really aren't that caring or concerned with their grandchildren's well-being, and then bashed me for, I guess, writing it in the book. And so I think that was really hard for me because, as I said earlier, for me, my grandmother...
Right, it was so personal for you.
Right, it was so personal. It was inspired by her. Really, it was certain things in that book that were a spitting image of things that she actually said or did or that happened in our individual family. So so I think that's what was hard for me. And, you know, I can handle a reader not liking the book, but I noticed that it was harder for me when it seemed to be a target where it wasn't, like, necessary constructive criticism, but just, you know, the words I read, I was like, oh, my gosh. it's like I felt like he was talking about my grandmother, or she or he, I'm not sure, but it wasn't that
way.
You know, but I do think that my experience with the journalism industry did help me develop, like, a thicker skin when it came to my own work, because I do know that everyone's not going to like what you love, and they're not going to like what you write, and I do understand that.
Right, and I think I got that maybe more so with my first book that came out, Love Contract, because, of course, my character was half Mexican, and she was bilingual, and she was Spanish, and ooh, some of the reviews were just not really very happy about the fact that there was no Spanish in the book. And it, I think I probably even talked to you about that, but then, you know, one reader just sent me a message one day, and she just basically said, you know, reviews are like leaves, you know, just leaves that fall off a tree. Sometimes you just have to sweep them out of your way and move on, because what you write is going to touch the people it's supposed to touch, and the people that it are supposed to get it will get it. And so that definitely helped me feel a lot better about the reviews, because some of them were really pretty brutal. And that also just reminded me that sometimes, you know, when there's a lot of anonymity in what you post and how you post, some people get a little overzealous about their discontent. So you're like, I'm always mindful of that myself when I do reviews, because it's like, okay, I got to remember there's a person on the other side of this
that's
going to be reading this. And so I want to make sure that I combine the good, maybe, you know, some things I would have liked to see different, or, you know, just always make sure I put a positive spin on it. And so that definitely helped me grow.
Right. You never know what the inspiration is behind that, you know, behind that author or what they've written. Because even with that said, I have received so many, you know, great reviews that really, like, touch my heart. And I do think that even one of the best reviews I received was still about Attempted Proposal. And it was from a reader who had just lost her father. And she basically said she read my book and couldn't stop crying, but got through it, reread it three times, and it actually helped her in the grieving process. So, you know, whereas it was one person who really didn't understand that relationship, it was another who understood it so well that actually helped her during a hard time in her life. So I think, like, I mean, you and I have talked about this, like, as an author, to be able to touch someone that way definitely makes, like, all the long hours of editing and writing well worth it. And, you know, and the good outweigh the bad. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and I know that, you know, you probably get this a lot, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. What advice would you give to aspiring or new authors that are kind of just starting out? I mean, I know we kind of just started out, but, you know, what
yeah,
advice
I was
would
like,
give
I
someone,
still don't know.
Because now that, you know, now you're on the other side of that, and so you definitely have the ability to, you know, have some lessons learned and stuff that you may not have before.
Right. So I definitely think that, you know, never giving up on your dream, and definitely don't let fear stop you from writing your book. You know, because like every great reward, writing takes dedication. But the feeling that you get after you've written your first book is, and I think Lisa, you agree, it's an indescribable feeling. And I also think
yeah.
it really helps to surround yourself by other authors, aspiring or published, whether it be
mm-hmm.
like on social media or a person who lives in your area or a writer's group. I love my family and I love my friends and I appreciate all their support, but there's nothing like a group of people who understand my writing struggles, understand my love
mm-hmm.
for reading and writing, and I'm just not quite sure what I would do without author and reader friends supporting me through this journey. So that was something
right.
I didn't know until I was halfway done with my book, and then I got this whole group of people that were so supportive, and it really helped me finish the book, you know, so...
Yeah, you know, and I definitely agree with that because it even though, like you said, friends and family are definitely really important to keep you motivated and just to have your back, it is a little bit different with an author
mm-hmm.
because you can kind of, you know, share with them. And like some of the author friends that I have, I've known for years, and so now they know my voice and sometimes better than I do. So sometimes I'll,
mm-hmm.
you know, run something by one, and I'll think it's the funniest thing, and I'll be cracking up laughing about it. Like, isn't that great? And they're like, no, not so much. And so, and vice versa, they'll go, ooh, what do you think about this? Isn't this good? I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah, so, you have those honest friends who would tell you exactly, yeah, no, I don't like that. I'm like,
that.
Oh, okay. You do need it.
You definitely
do.
Need that because, you know, it's important to help you grow as an author, and it's important to kind of remind yourself sometimes that, you know, people are looking at it from, you know, a different perspective than you, because you're looking at it from the technical. You're looking at it from, you know, the pacing and the character development and this, that, and the other.
Right.
And sometimes it's very hard to take a step back and look at it like a reader would sometimes. And,
exactly.
You know, because they're looking at two different things. And so this brings me to my next question. Have you ever actually sat down and read one of your books? And not read
yes.
it for editing, not read it for
right.
dramatic, just read for pleasure.
Yes. Do you know what? I did that for Attempted Proposal for my first book. As soon as it came in the mail, I said, you know what? I'm going to read it. I'm going to sit down and read it from top to finish. And I did not know why I did that. I don't know how you felt. I was like, oh, I could have changed that. Oh, I don't know why. It was so hard for me to get through my whole book without critiquing it. I'm like, I haven't picked up, you know, a later book to see if maybe I still have that same feeling, like if I read Rebel of the Kisses,
uh-huh.
but... My first book, I don't know if that was the right one for me to pick up to read again.
Right, and I did that myself, but it was like years later. I mean, my first, you know, solo novel that I did, gosh, was a few years ago. And I recently, like last year, I sat down and actually got a chance to read it. And so my son walked by, and he was looking at me. He stopped and did a double take, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm reading. He's like, Mom, you wrote the book. Why are you reading your own book? So I was like, because I've never actually done that. I've never read
right.
a book just for pleasure. And it was funny because, like you said, sometimes like, ooh, I would have done that differently. But sometimes I was cracking up laughing and having a great time. It's really funny.
See, that's a good point. Maybe I'll try to pick it up and do that. Maybe I'll have to wait a year. Maybe that's what I did wrong. I, you know, it had just, like, I read it as soon as I got the book in the
yeah,
mail.
You're
so.
Way too,
I was
yeah.
like, ooh.
You
right.
you got to take a step back.
Right, maybe.
Well, Sherelle, I can't believe the time has flown so by. Let me give you the opportunity really quick to let listeners know how to get in touch with you.
Sure. So I can be reached via email at authorSherelleGreen@gmail.com or on my website at www.SherelleGreen.com, and that's SHERELLEGREEN.com. But I'm also on social media, so you can find me on Twitter at Sherelle Green or Facebook under my name as well. And my fan page is actually Romance Author Sherelle Green. So if you search for it, I should be able to pop right up.
Wow. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. As always, it's such a pleasure to, sit and just chat with you. And it's just always just insightful because you just never know where we're going to head with that. So I want to thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I've had so much fun. So thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you. And listeners out there, thank you for joining us on Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can stop by and check out the website, the recap blog, shortly. And also, you can go and check us out later. And happy holidays, everyone. I'm Lisa Watson, your host. And if you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, or any other holiday, I just want to say have a merry one, happy reading, and I will see you in 2015. Bye-bye, Sherelle. Good night.
Bye, good night.
Have a good one.